A new documentary is out today about a newspaper that once set the news agenda for America and the world, and still to some extent does. Page One, A Year Inside the New York Times, finds that paper struggling to get a footing in a new media landscape. Beginning in 2009, the filmmaker Andrew Rossi spent over a year deep inside the newsroom of the Times, and nearly every day brought bad news for the business of news.
Once, after 100 staffers got pink slips, the Times executive editor says to the camera, "We should be wearing bloody butcher smocks." One media columnist ends up being the star of the film, David Carr, easily the most colorful character at the Daily, long known as the Gray Lady. Some years ago, he penned a memoir of his former life as a drug addict and ne'er-do-well who still managed to write brilliantly. David Carr and Andrew Rossi joined us to talk about Page One.
We're looking at the New York Times really through a sort of keyhole, which is the media desk. It's comprised of 14 journalists all writing on various different aspects of the media landscape. I thought that it would make for a fantastic sort of play within a play.
Which meant that you followed, there are many characters, but basically four from the media desk. David Carr is one of them, and you're this enormously creative writer, but you have had, you know, quite a different history, I think, than one that most candidates for being hired by the New York Times have.
Yeah, I think drug addiction usually isn't featured prominently on people's resume. I know that the Times was aware of that and aware that I had done a few things since then. I had raised twin girls by myself. I had run newspapers, and I seemed to be a fairly stable candidate for employment. But the fact that I used to be a crack addict is not the only thing about me, but it's probably the most interesting thing about me.
David Carr, in the film, you are extremely devoted to the New York Times. Let's play a clip of you representing the Times at a debate about the value of old media.
We have 17 million people that come to our website. We put out 100 videos every month. We have 80 blogs. We are fully engaged in the revolution. The New York Times has dozens of bureaus all over the world, and we're going to toss that out and kick back and see what Facebook turns up. I don't think so. Well, I do have sort of an immigrant's love of the place. Yeah, I ended up being a little bit of a moony about it. And sometimes, because I'm the media columnist, I end up on these panels and I get sort of excited. My daughter saw the film and she said, "Dad, you're always yelling at people. You should stop yelling at people." And I said, "Why should work be any different than home, honey?"
Well, it is a feature of the film, and I think it is a feature of life now for people representing newspapers, that there are these panels talking about, will it be irrelevant in the very near future? And Andrew Rossi, I wonder if you thought you were making a depressing documentary, or at least one that's bittersweet.
I think that the mood has changed a lot. When I first started shooting, it was just a couple of weeks before about 100 people were eliminated from the New York Times newsroom. I think the arc of the film finds the Times at a place at the end that's a lot more stable and hopeful about the future. This is a period in which WikiLeaks became such a huge story. You know, it's just there's momentous things happening and the stakes are really high because journalism as being practiced in places where the mandate is original reporting is really at risk.
The more shocking media story is one most people probably wouldn't have known about if they hadn't read the New York Times. It was the collapse of the newspaper giant, the Tribune Company. Here's a clip from the movie of the Tribune Company's chairman, Sam Zell, telling an audience about what he thinks about those who bemoan the demise of mainstream traditional journalism.
When you read the New York Times today, in the business section, you will see the obituary of the newspaper industry. Jesus, what a bunch of I'm not a newspaper guy. I'm a businessman.
And this is a man who controls several of the best traditional newspapers in the country.
It's sort of indicative of the broader disrespect of journalism as it is practiced, again and again, we have these saviors from outside coming in saying, you guys don't get it. Here's how it's going to happen. And in Sam Zell's case, they acted as if it was one more commodity, and they drove the company into bankruptcy and meanwhile made it a terrible place for the 20,000 men and women who worked there. And on top of it, diminished the reporting of papers all across the country. And the fact that they got away with it over and over again is an indication that there's, in Chicago and elsewhere, there just isn't the kind of journalism going on that there once was. And one of the cool things about the movie is it shows me talking with my editor, figuring out what the story is. And I've talked to other reporters, and they say, and then you said you're going to take a couple weeks to write it. And that, in this day and age, is such a luxury. And I try not to forget that I can just turn and say, look, yes, I'm going to blog. Yes, I'll be tweeting out. Yes, yes, yes. But for this longer thought, it's going to take me a couple weeks to get it together. Never would have happened if I didn't work at the paper that I do.
In the end, Andrew Rossi, did you come away feeling that the New York Times was part of the larger picture, the troubled picture of newspapers, traditional media, or that it would pull it off?
My sense is that this is really a moving target. The last lines of the film discuss the fact that the New York Times has implemented a paywall, a metered model to have people pay for news online. And readers and publishers are both continuing to debate how journalism can sustain itself. Ultimately, I think it's for viewers to decide whether a place like the New York Times is worth keeping alive.
Filmmaker Andrew Rossi and New York Times media columnist David Carr. The documentary Page One, A Year Inside the New York Times, is out today.
And from NPR News, it's Morning Edition, edited by Martha Wexler, Renita Jablonski, and Chuck Holmes. Our editorial staff includes Rena Advantage, Nita Anderson, Jordana Hochman, Miranda Kennedy, and Laura Krantz, with Sasha Woodruff at NPR West. Our senior supervising editors are Kitty Isley and Shannon Rhodes, and our executive producer is Madalika Kasika. The executive director of news programming is Ellen McDonald. The theme music written by B.J. Lederman, arranged by Jim Pugh. With Renee Montaigne, I'm Steve Inskeep.